From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled Divine Vindication and Vengeance, part of a series of studies in the Book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 37. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them. Prayer is the forerunner of mercy. Turn to sacred history, and you will find that scarcely ever did a great mercy come to this world unheralded by supplication. You have found this true in your own personal experience. God has given you many an unsolicited favor, but still great prayer has always been the prelude of great mercy with you. When you first found peace through the blood of the cross, you had been praying much and earnestly interceding with God that he would remove your doubts and deliver you from your distresses. Your assurance was the result of prayer. When at any time you have had high hopes and rapturous joys, you have been obliged to look upon them as answers to your prayers. When you have had great deliverances out of sore troubles and mighty helps in great dangers, you have been able to say, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Prayer is always the preface to blessing. It goes before the blessing as the blessing's shadow. When the sunlight of God's mercies rises upon our necessities, it casts the shadow of prayer far down upon the plain. Or to use another illustration, when God piles up a hill of mercies, he himself shines behind them, and he casts on our spirits the shadow of prayer, so that we may rest certain, if we are much in prayer, our pleadings are the shadows of mercy. Prayer is thus connected with the blessing to show us the value of it. If we had the blessings without asking for them, we should think them common things. But prayer makes our mercies more precious than diamonds. The things we ask for are precious, but we do not realize their preciousness until we have sought for them earnestly. Prayer makes the darkened cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw, gives exercise to faith and love, brings every blessing from above.
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine.
Savior divine, now hear me while I pray, and take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire, as thou hast died for me.
Yeah.
turn to day. Wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. When ends life's transient dream, when death's cold solemn stream shall o'er me roll, Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above. A ransom soul, a ransom soul.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Thank you. As he continues this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is expounding chapter 12. The apostle James has been murdered by King Herod, and Peter has been imprisoned to await his own execution. Dr. Cairns has emphasized that what happened to these two apostles was for the glory of God, a truth that should guide the lives of all of us as God's people. The wicked Herod acted the fool by not taking God into account. At the same time, the Scripture presents a wonderful picture of the church at prayer. The narrative contains many important lessons for our Christian lives. Herod laid his evil plans, but the God of heaven and earth had something else in mind. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue a message called Divine Vindication and Vengeance.
James had vowed that he would follow the Lord in all that was signified by those terms, the cup and the baptism. Now the Lord calls on him to fulfill his vow. My friend, it is a solemn thing to vow to God. Solemn thing. It's a solemn thing to consecrate your life to the Lord. Now, a believer can never be happy unless his life is consecrated to the Lord. But I want to tell you, there always comes the time when the Lord calls the vows in, when the Lord calls the promises home, and he says, now comes the time for fulfillment. Maybe you're here this morning and you've given your life to the Lord, but you're not really living for the Lord. There's been a time in the past and you've said, Lord, I vow my life away to Thee. But you're not really living for God today. Maybe there was a time when God challenged you about full-time service and you said, yes, Lord, I'm willing to go through blood and fire and water for You. But now the vision's receding and the passion's receding. And the call of the heathen is as strong as ever, but your ears are deafened. My friend, God would call the promises home. God would call upon you to stand upon the vows that have been made. He's looking for a people who'll be faithful, like James, whatever it means. And there's something else here. You'll see this very clearly. The Christian's only purpose in living is the glory of God. James died. He was an apostle. Peter was taken, and yet he was delivered from death, miraculously. And he was an apostle. Now here are two apostles. Both of them had been in that inner threesome who had always dealt most intimately with the Lord. Peter, James, and John. They were the ones whom the Lord took further with Him into the Garden of Gethsemane than anybody else. They were the ones who were with the Lord in the Mount of Transfiguration. They were very close to the Savior. So you can say, here are two apostles, equal in dignity, equal in office, equal in gifts, equal in power, equal in their work for God, and quite a few years of hard labor had gone by together in Jerusalem. And God lets James die, and He makes Peter live. And in that you will see very, very clearly that the reason for James's death is the glory of God. The reason for Peter's living is the glory of God. Now, we cannot understand always why the Lord does things, but we do know this, that it's the Lord's will that counts. It's the Lord's glory that counts, that all things do work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. We do know that every Christian has got to come to the place that Paul speaks of in Philippians 1 and verse 20, the latter part of the verse, when he says, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. That was the vow of the apostle. That was epitomized and exemplified here in this 12th chapter through James and Peter. Whether you live or whether you die, it's for God's glory. You know, that should slow us up a little bit. My friend, the only reason why we're still on the earth is not your inbuilt health and strength. It's just the will of God. Other Christians, can I say it better, Christians, have been cut down in death before you. I think of some of the choicest young men the Church of Christ has had in this century. And they have been cut down in death, plowing a lonely furrow in the mission fields of the world. I think of those breaking into new territories. I think of those who opened up territories today which are yielding rich harvests of souls to other missionaries. But they had to die. My friend, the only reason God has given you life is to glorify Him. The first question of the Shorter Catechism is, what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is simply this: to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And I want you to get it in the proper order. It's glorifying God and then enjoyment. It's glorifying God and then pleasure. The believer can only be happy so long as he's holy. The believer can only enjoy life so long as he is exalting the Savior. And my friend, if you are enjoying the world when you're dishonoring the Savior, then I tell you there's a very, very serious question mark in my mind over your profession of salvation at all, whether you live or die. I wonder, have we come to the place of saying, I'm here for the Lord's glory? You know, that puts everything else in perspective. So many of God's people are taken up with things. So many of God's people, and I'm not going to worry about what things you have, whether I have them or whether I don't, that's between you and the Lord. But when you are taken up with things, when things become your God and your goal, when things wrap like an octopus around your heart, they'll squeeze spiritual life right out of you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's the Christian's goal. And all these things shall be added unto you. God will give you the things you need. He'll give you the things, in fact, in superabundance, if it's going to be for your good and His glory. But I'll tell you this. Your job and mine is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's for God's glory that we're here. Oh, may the Lord help us to live to the glory of God. You know, if I felt, I have a lot more to say here, but if I felt that the Lord would really teach us that today, if the Lord would really burn and blister that into our soul, I would be quite happy to close the book and say, we have reached a place with God we have never been before. Oh, just to have this all-consuming passion to live for the glory of God. To say, what does my name matter? What does my comfort matter? What does my future matter? What does anything matter? Whether it's life or death, just so long as the Lord is glorified. Tell me, is Christ exalted by the way you're living? Tell me, is Christ exalted in your home? Is He exalted in your heart? Is Christ exalted by your thoughts, by your reading, by your speech, by your communion with others? Is Christ exalted in you? My friend, let's say this. If you're ever going to exalt Christ by your death, I think you'll need first to exalt Him in your life. Every one of us has got to die, lest the Lord spares us to that glorious appearing of Christ. But I say this to you. When I die, I would like souls to be saved through that death. I remember in our church in Ballymoney, having funeral services for one of our Sabbath school teachers, a young woman of 31 years of age, who died in the operating theater of one of the big hospitals in Belfast. Doctors trying to do what was humanly impossible. And she bled to death. It was a gory sight. The man you call the anesthesiologist, the doctor in charge of that, retired from service in hospital that day and said I could never do it again. Gory sight. A heartbreaking time. But if my memory's right, I think there were five precious souls who were gloriously saved through Eileen's death. That's the kind of death I want to die. I don't talk about the attendant circumstances of the surgery and all that. But whatever the exit, I want a death that's going to bring souls to Christ. But my friend, you can only die that kind of death when you live that kind of life. Whether by life or death, let's live to the glory of God. Just a word about the time this all took place, verse 2 and 3. It's the Passover time. The word Easter in verse 4 should be Passover. Isn't it interesting? James was slain on or near the anniversary of the Savior's death. James had said, yes, Lord, I'll drink of the same cup. I'll be baptized with the same baptism. Well, he was. You see, we have fellowship in Christ's sufferings. In Colossians 1:24, Paul was wanting always to make up that which was behind in him of the sufferings of Christ. You know, that's the difference between Paul and us and the early church and us. And I've got to include myself in this. We have become soft. And I have to wonder, is our softness not linked with our carnality? And is it not the cause of our powerlessness? You see, our objective, and I must say it's true of us all, and I don't know anybody today that really I can go to and say, now, there's the living example that they're altogether different. We want to get through with as little suffering as possible. Whereas Paul was dead scared of little suffering. Paul says, I want to make up that which is behind in me of the sufferings of Christ. I want, as he puts it to the Corinthians, to keep my body under. I want to know what it is to have fellowship in the sufferings of Christ. Now the Lord's going to have to work a whole change in our entire process of thought and in our entire manner of looking at things. The Lord's going to have to deal with our hearts to wean us away from the effeminacy of the modern Christian situation and give us that rugged willingness. And not only that rugged willingness, but that rugged desire not to fall behind in suffering for Jesus. That's what Paul's saying. And that's hard to understand for us. It's hard to take. It's easy to say, but then we'll all go home to our armchairs and our Dunlopillo mattresses and our carpeted floors and plenty of food. Now, there's nothing wrong in themselves with those things. Nothing wrong with them. But remember always Paul's fear. Remember always Paul's fear. Let's not fall behind in the sufferings of Christ. Let's make sure we always are in fellowship with his cross. Let's make sure, even in the plush surroundings of modern American life, let's make sure that we bear the cross, that we bear the shame, that we are in the world but not of the world. Let's make sure that we're never ashamed of Jesus Christ and his cross. Because if you don't bear the cross, you've never known the blood. Oh, let's get that. We live in a day of easy believism and every profession of Christianity is accepted as truth. There'd be millions in hell who profess to be saved. Millions of them. And they never were saved. My friend Jesus said, if you don't take up the cross, you cannot be my disciple. It's impossible to be saved if there's no taking up of the cross.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.